Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. So every June, right, you see the rainbow flags everywhere.
Mm-hmm, they talk up.
And corporations suddenly have rainbow logos. There are parades, lots of dancing, celebration.
Yeah, it's very visible, very loud sometimes.
Totally. And it's vibrant. You can't miss it. But underneath all the glitter, it does raise a pretty basic question.
Which is?
What is pride actually for? You know, is it just this big party?
Or a protest?
Yeah, or maybe just a marketing thing now. Or is it like just a phase people talk about?
Right. For someone who hasn't really needed pride, maybe that question seems simple.
But for those who do feel that need, well, our source today suggests the answer is way more layered.
Absolutely. It's complex, it's emotional, and the source even frames it as kind of sacred.
Okay, so let's get into that source. What are we looking at today?
So we're doing a deep dive into this really thoughtful piece. It's called What is Pride For?
Okay.
It's from the Church of Tinkerbell's blog, and it was published just recently, June 23rd, 2025. Mm-hmm. The article itself offers this really serious, very moving guide to the, well, the meaning, the magic, and the mission of Pride Month.
Gotcha. And does it give a core answer to that big question, what is pride for?
It does. It boils it down to four key things. The article says, pride is for remembering, pride is for resisting, pride is for reclaiming, pride is for becoming.
Remembering, resisting, reclaiming, becoming. Okay, that's a powerful framework.
Definitely.
So let's try and unpack those. Where does the article start, maybe with remembering, and how that links to shame?
Yeah, exactly. It kicks off by really stressing that pride is at its heart, but rejecting shame and invisibility.
Yeah.
The article makes this point that pride didn't, you know, just appear out of nowhere when things were comfortable.
Right.
It came from, and the quote is, shame imposed and shame rejected.
Shame imposed and shame rejected. What?
Yeah. And it gives these really specific kind of heartbreaking examples.
Like what?
Well, things like every time a queer kid was told to sit differently, every time a trans person was asked for their real name,
mm-hmm.
every time love was forced underground, every time a family said, we can love you, just not that part of you, you know.
That really hits home. It paints a clear picture.
It does. And so the piece argues pride isn't about saying we're better than anyone else.
It's not superiority.
No, it's an antidote. It's pushing back against that systemic shame.
Mm.
It's about replacing silence with song.
Okay.
Erasure with embodiment and fear with fire. That's the phrasing it uses.
Silence with song, erasure with embodiment, fear with fire. That's potent imagery for what pride aims to do.
It really is.
So if it starts with rejecting shame, where does the resisting part come in? How does the article connect pride to protest?
Well, it builds right on that. It moves into pride's role as a direct protest against erasure, mm-hmm. of resistance.
Okay.
And it reminds us of the history, right? That the first pride wasn't a parade, it was a riot.
Specifically Stonewall, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Led, the article points out, by trans women of color, fueled by police brutality. It was this powerful spark of no more.
A holy spark, I think the outline mentioned.
Yeah, that's the term the source uses. And that legacy is vital because, as the article notes, the fight against erasure isn't over.
Not at all.
We see attempts today, you know, things like book bans targeting LGBTQ plus stories,
mm-hmm.
or bathroom bills trying to legislate people's existence, essentially trying to push queer people back into the shadows, back into invisibility.
Right. Constant attempts.
But Pride Month disrupts that. It interrupts with vibrant, unapologetic visibility.
Unapologetic visibility. I like that.
Yeah. It's basically shouting, we are still here.
Yeah.
And we always will be. It's that resistance aspect.
Okay. So it has these deep roots in protest, in resisting erasure.
Huh.
But we also see so much joy. How does the article talk about that? The celebration side.
That's the reclaiming and maybe even the becoming part kicking in. The article shifts focus there. It says, look, queer people aren't just defined by their survival. They're also creators. Creators of joy, of beauty, of community.
So it embraces the celebration.
Absolutely. It says pride is about joy. It's about glitter, music. It's about finding your chosen family. Those deep bonds of support outside traditional structures.
Finding your people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Find the folks who look at you and say, I see you, and I'm so glad you exist.
Ah, it's powerful.
And the article celebrates what it calls these everyday miracles.
Miracles like?
Things like learning to love your body when the world tried to shame it.
Yeah.
Claiming your name, using your pronouns, dressing in a way that feels authentic.
Just being yourself.
Right. And this beautiful phrase, kissing who you love in the sunlight. Reclothing that simple public act.
Kissing who you love in the sunlight. That captures so much about moving from shame to joy.
It really does. It's about that liberation.
And this liberation, the source takes it even further, right? Into something spiritual. How does the Church of Kinkerbell connect pride to spirituality?
Yeah, this is where their unique perspective really shines. They're very clear, though.
Clear about what?
That it's not religious in the way many were hurt by. That's a direct quote.
Okay, important distinction. So what kind of spiritual?
It's spiritual in the most sacred sense. Yeah. It's about the experience of this soul becoming visible.
Soul becoming visible.
Yeah, letting that inner self shine through. Finding the magic of being exactly who you are without apology.
That sounds incredibly freeing.
It does. The article uses terms like pride being a ritual of unshaming.
A ritual. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And a holiday for the unbecoming and the radiant, like for those shedding old skins and finding their glow.
Wow.
And even a feast day for the ones who once felt cursed and have finally found their blessing.
That's beautiful language.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And then there's a fantastic metaphor they use.
The Tinkerbell one.
That's the one. Tinkerbell doesn't need permission to glow, and neither do you.
I love that. Simple, powerful, no permission needed.
Exactly. It frames finding and expressing your true self as this inherent, almost sacred right.
Okay, so we've covered remembering, resisting, reclaiming joy, and the spiritual becoming. After exploring all that, how does the article sum up who pride is actually for? Does it bring it back to the listener?
It does, very explicitly. It casts a really wide, inclusive net.
How so?
It says pride is for, well, let me read this bit, for those still finding their name. For those still trying to be safe, for those who fought before us and those who will come after, for those who aren't ready to come out and those who never could.
So acknowledging all those different stages and experiences.
Absolutely. And then it brings it right to the individual, for the child you were, for the self you are, for the world you deserve.
For the child you were. That's quite moving.
It really lands, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And the ultimate takeaway, the final affirmation from the article is simply, pride is for you.
Pride is for you.
Wow. Yeah. It really broadens the understanding.
So reflecting on this whole deep dive then, this article, What is Pride For? It really shows how much depth there is, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It paints pride as this incredibly rich, multifaceted thing. It's history, it's resistance, it's personal identity, it's community, it's becoming. It's so much more than just the parades or the corporate logos we might see on the surface.
Definitely much more than surface level. And the article from the Church of Tinkerbell ends with some really direct affirmations aimed right at the listener. Right?
Yes, powerful ones.
It says, you belong. You are beautiful. You are not a mistake. You are allowed to be exactly who you are.
Really embracing and validating words.
And it adds that final touch.
Hmm.
Every shade of the rainbow is holy.
Mm-hmm. A very fitting close from that source.
So thinking about all this, the history of protest, the personal, even spiritual liberation involved, it leaves us with something to consider, doesn't it?
Definitely. A final thought, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe for you listening. Considering these deeper roots of pride, the resistance, the reclaiming, the becoming, how might, understanding all that change how you engage with it.
Or how you perceive the public celebrations, the conversations around identity, around belonging.
Exactly. Not just during June, but maybe all year round. Something to mull over.
Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.